The gathering place Houston has been watching the horizon, and from what they're posting, the horizon is watching back.
The Gathering Place Houston has been publishing a sustained run of pieces covering scripture as a defense against deception, what genuine surrender and humility look like in practice, the call to live set apart from worldly compromise, and how biblical prophecy frames the moment we're in. Let's start with the discernment question, how believers are meant to recognize and resist deception.
The core claim across these posts is that spiritual deception isn't a fringe concern. It's the defining condition of the present moment, and scripture is the only reliable instrument for navigating it.
The anchor post sets that up directly. On the multiplication of deceptive voices, it reads, "The hour is growing late upon the earth, and the voices of deception multiply across the nations like waves driven by fierce winds."
And the practical consequence is that passive familiarity with Scripture isn't enough. The post argues believers must become intentional about studying, obeying, and meditating on it before Christ's return.
The companion pieces sharpen that from different angles. Spiritual discernment, unlocking the mysteries of God, argues that deeper biblical understanding isn't unlocked through intellect alone, but through intimacy and obedience. Beware of spiritual deception extends the warning to mixed motives inside religious communities themselves, drawing on Philippians to show that even genuine proclamation can be corrupted by envy and personal ambition. Freemasonry and spiritual deception applies that same discernment framework to specific organizations, arguing that secret oaths and religious pluralism compromise exclusive loyalty to Christ. The role of the Holy Spirit in spiritual deception and the true shepherd both press the same point. Discernment is the Spirit's work, and recognizing false leadership requires fruit testing, not just credential checking.
So the whole cluster is really one argument. Deception is structural, pervasive, and sometimes wearing a collar.
That's the thread. And it leads directly into what these posts say the remedy looks like. Not just correct doctrine, but a particular posture of the whole person.
If the discernment posts diagnose the problem, this cluster is the treatment. And the treatment is considerably more demanding than updating your reading list.
The power of true surrender to Christ anchors it. The post's framing is stark. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The whole piece turns on that gap between visible religiosity and inward reality.
Which means you can perform Christianity fluently and still be spiritually absent. That's an uncomfortable audit.
The power of humility in kingdom living develops the positive side. Servant leadership modeled on Christ, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Greatness in the kingdom runs opposite to every worldly metric. Transform your life, embrace divine purpose, grounds this anthropologically. Humanity was made for fellowship with God, and the restlessness driving so much of modern life is the symptom of that broken connection. Rejecting compromise, the true mark of kingdom royalty, pushes the stakes higher. Tolerating spiritually dead environments isn't neutral, it's corrosive. And separation from them is preservation, not pride.
Understanding spiritual warfare and obedience, and overcoming spiritual warfare through obedience, are both first-person accounts of what that surrender costs in practice. Opposition, isolation, the intensification of warfare precisely because a yielded life becomes a threat to darkness. Embracing the potter's hands frames the same experience through Jeremiah's potter imagery. The breaking is purposeful, and the potter never discards the clay. Unleashing God's power within believers locates the resource for all of this in the resurrection. The same power that raised Christ now operates in believers. The dangers of pursuing comfort over faith names the specific temptation that undercuts surrender, a comfort-centered faith that avoids the cross. And understanding divine authority, creation explained,
reaches back to Genesis to argue that words, alignment, and submission to divine order are woven into the structure of creation itself.
The through line is that surrender isn't a single moment. It's the daily decision to stay on the wheel.
Exactly. And that daily posture is what the next cluster says makes someone recognizable as distinct in the world.
This is where the interior work becomes visible. What it actually looks like to live differently inside a culture that's moving the other direction.
Overcoming darkness, the power of faith and discernment, opens it with a clear-eyed account of how the enemy operates. Not through obvious assault, but through influence, familiarity, and emotional attachment. It quotes directly, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you."
The warning that even family relationships can become vectors for spiritual compromise is one of the harder edges in these posts.
The danger of spiritual compromise in today's world widens that lens to cultural scale. Entertainment replacing repentance. Applause replacing sanctification. Living as God's people in a pagan world is the practical manual. Conduct, speech, appearance, all as expressions of inward transformation. The tragedy of Adam and Eve traces the origin of the whole problem. Fear, shame, and hiding as the first consequences of disobedience, with redemption already embedded in the same chapter. Navigating toxic relationships with godly wisdom brings it into the relational everyday. Boundaries as spiritual wisdom, not selfishness. And humanity's rebellion, echoes of Babel, reads modern globalization and technological ambition as the same Babel spirit. Unity without holiness, power without accountability.
Babel means confusion, and the Post makes the case that confusion is exactly what you'd expect from a civilization rebuilding the same tower.
Which sets up the final question, where all of this is heading.
The prophetic posts pull everything together, discernment, surrender, living set apart, and ask what it all means against the backdrop of where history is moving.
Understanding biblical prophecy and the end times is direct about the scale. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The Post reads current geopolitical tension, particularly in the Middle East, through Ezekiel and Revelation, arguing that demonic influence operates behind visible political events.
And the point isn't to produce fear. The Post is explicit that prophecy's purpose is to call people toward repentance and readiness, not toward dread.
The days of Noah draws the parallel Christ himself made. The condition of that generation mirrors this one, and Noah's faithful obedience while the world ignored the warnings is the model. Grace was available then, and the Posts argue it still is now.
Scripture is shield. Surrender is daily practice. Separation is preservation. Prophecy is orientation. It's a coherent frame.
And the through line is that none of it works as information alone. The Posts keep returning to the same point. Knowing and abiding are different things.